Blog Talk Radio.
The John Daly Show, Sports.
And hi, everyone. We are heading into week five of the NFL season, and of course, the season has had absolutely no controversy. We will bat around the latest. Should instant replay be increased? Has fantasy reached the end of its honeymoon with Major League Sports? We'll also talk about some horrible place kicking, and we're not just talking about extra points, but field goals. We'll run down the week's big games, and we'll check out your fantasy, if it's still around. Joining me, as always, is Eric Snyder, our NFL expert. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340 in Las Vegas. Boychuk, good morning.
Good morning.
We're looking forward to a good show here. We got some good stuff. Let's start with my three big takeaways and see what you think about them. First, the controversial call in Seattle at the end of the game. The officials blew it on the field. Instant replay apparently needs to be changed, and the players, they need to know the rules. Now, when I saw that ball being pushed out of bounds, I thought, wait, where is Dave Casper? Your thoughts?
The holy roller. God, that brings out great memories. I agree with you. Not only should the players know the rules, John, but the fact that no one on ESPN, John Gruden, Mike Tirico, even the guys in the postgame show, Steve Young, Trent Dilfer, did not know the rules. I have a different take on this whole thing. Yes, one, the point being, did the officials blow the rule in that call when Calvin Johnson fumbled? Yes. But I take another angle on it. No one's talking about the fact that Calvin Johnson fumbled. And I still think if you look at that, there's another rule no one knows about. We haven't talked about. I believe in the last 2 minutes of a game, the only person that can recover a fumble is the person that fumbled the ball. And Calvin Johnson was on the ground crying, probably fumbled. Now, K.J. Wright's a guy that inadvertently, I believe, batted out of bounds, whether inadvertently or inadvertently did it. Doesn't really matter. The momentum of the ball was going out of bounds, and I think that the official went one. He blew the call, but I believe in the back of his mind he said, "Look, there's no other Detroit Lion player around this thing. If you looked at the ball, it was in the air and it was on the last yard going out of the end zone. It would have gone out of bounds. Two things could have happened. It either gone out of bounds or K.J. Wright could have caught the ball and would have been a touchback. Calvin Johnson was not recovering that ball to make it a touchdown." So do I think Detroit got screwed? Yes. Do I think Seattle had gotten screwed more? They would have changed that and put the ball on the half-yard line? Probably. So the point of this whole thing is, and the point that I believe should be emphasized here, John, is there's too many rules, and I don't believe all the officials know them, I don't believe all the players know them, and I don't think all the announcers know them. And that's something that the competition committee has to really look at when they get together next March.
All right, that is a great point, the fact that he had to be the one to recover it. Another Lion could not recover that ball and make it a touchdown. So that's a great point.
I'm on with Pauly Howard on 1340, and everyone's talking about Detroit got screwed. You know what? Don't fumble the ball into the end zone. That's no one's talking about that. They're talking about how they got screwed. You fumbled the ball into the end zone, which would have given them a 17-13 lead with about a minute 56 to go. Would they have closed them out? You don't know. The way, look, we could talk about this forever. Both those teams looked horrible on offense the other night. Russell Wilson was putrid in the fourth quarter. But moving on, there's a lot of things that happened in that thing. And I think, believe it or not, when it's all said and done, the competition committee will look at this whole thing. They'll get it right. And I believe the right team won, if that makes sense.
Okay, I agree with you there. How about the overall question, though, of instant replay? Because there were a lot of controversial calls this past weekend. The Travis Kelce call was kind of a weird one as well. Do we want to allow instant replay during the whole game on every play and take it out of the hands of the coaches?
No. I mean, the average NFL game used to last back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, about 2 hours and between 2 hours and 48 and 2 hours and 56 minutes. Now the average NFL game is averaging 3 hours and 17 minutes, and they don't want that. This league is very protective of its shield, very protective of the image, and they want to keep the game within 3 hours. And what the two coaches challenge is, again, you're going 3 hours and 17 minutes. If you're going to start doing that and taking away out of the coach's hands, John, and you allow this to be every single play, and that guy, coach like Tom Coughlin and Jeff Fisher of the Rams want instant replay on pass interference calls, then you're really taking the momentum away from the game. And, these guys are under the hood constantly. My answer is no. I think the system works the way it is.
Okay.
You and I watched football growing up in the 70s and 80s, and the game seemed to work. Yeah, there was controversial calls, and oh, my God, you brought up Dave Casper and the Holy Roller, and that wouldn't have lasted nowadays. But the pace of the game is what's important, and that's a problem in baseball right now is the pace of the game. You don't need that in football.
All right. Second big takeaway from last week, I thought, was the fabulous coaching. I look at Jeff Fisher, who turned around the Rams to beat the Cardinals. I look at what Chuck Pagano did to get the Colts in the win column without Andrew Luck. I also look at Tom Coughlin. He's got the Giants back on track. Or is this just a league that's so competitive that each week it's difficult to put two wins back-to-back? What do you think?
This is a league that's so competitive that it's difficult to put two wins back-to-back. It's so great when the NFL talks about parity. They really have it. I know there's certain teams out there. I'll give you three teams right now I think are terrific. All the 4-0 teams with Carolina, Atlanta, Green Bay, New England, and Cincinnati. I think New England, Green Bay, and Cincinnati are far above the other two, but I believe they could lose on any given Sunday. And that's the one thing that's been a cliche in this league, but the great line, any given Sunday, and you have that. I personally picked the Bills to beat the Giants last week, and the Giants really dominated them. They could have won that game by more, and you're right. There's been terrific coaching this year. I think what Jason Garrett's doing in Dallas, even though they lost. I mean, look at San Diego at seven starters out. I know they're playing the Cleveland Browns. I'm sorry for your wife in that game. I know she's a big Browns fan. But they had three starting guys in the offensive line. Malcolm Floyd and Stevie Johnson, two starting receivers out. Three guys in the defense out. And Phillip Rivers goes out and wins AFC Offensive Player of the Week because of the coaching. I watch everything. I have a man cave here. I watch all the games, and I'm watching these schemes and the way these coaches are setting it up. And it's brilliant, and it just adds to the greatness of this sport.
Yeah, I agree. Third takeaway, horrible kicking. Josh Scobie has already been released by the Steelers. One article said that Scobie had made fun of Tigers chipping and yips, and karma came back to get him. But I say, is it the new extra point rule that's causing field goal problems?
No, I think it's something that when, and then you got guys out there like Robbie Gould, Sebastian Janikowski, Matt Prater, Stephen Kukowski hasn't missed anything yet. I don't want to jinx any of these guys. But I think what the NFL has done, and I've always liked the way they work this with their competition committee, and we're going to give kudos and props to Jeff Fisher, is they're always finding a way to evolutionize their game. And I think with this extra point, it's added more drama. It's great. You're seeing guys missing extra points. In the Bear Raider game, Robbie Gould missed a point, extra point, and it was 6-0. And it could have cost them because they were down by one and had to come back and kick the winning field goal. That being said, I love it. And I think right now you're just seeing, you've got Kyle Brizda, guy from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been cut. You got a lot of guys right now still on the hot seat. And I think it's great. Again, it adds drama to the game, and that's what the NFL wants.
Yeah, I agree with you. You are listening to the John Daly Show Sports. You can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We're talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340 in Las Vegas. Okay, we're talking on Thursday, so we can talk about the Thursday night game. Colts at Houston. Just before we went on the air, the NFL Network is reporting that Matt Hasselbeck will start tonight for the Colts against the Texans. I guess the question is, does it matter with that Texans defense?
Well, isn't that a shame? Isn't it a shame that all you've seen in the offseason with Hard Knocks and J.J. Watt now leads all the NFL players in endorsements? I haven't heard his name called that much in the first 4 weeks. It's a concern. But I also think this, Matt Hasselbeck is probably the best backup quarterback in the league, had a terrific game against Jacksonville last week. With that being said, I still like Houston in this game. I think Houston, if Houston goes 1-4 and they're done, which, by the way, that's the worst division in football, so that could be a 7-9. I still think Houston's going to find a way to win this game. The problem with Houston is their quarterback and their coach going back and forth between Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. Mallett gets a start tonight. But, Indianapolis is an enigma. They look great 1 week, bad the next. Again, look at Jacksonville's kicker. Look at his last name is Myers. He misses two 40-yard kicks, one in regulation to win the game and one in overtime. And we haven't talked about that. So there's a game that was decided by a field goal. Realistically, Indianapolis should be 1-3. I think they go to 2-3 tonight. They should be 1-3. They're 2-2. They go to 2-3 tonight. I like Houston in that game.
All right. Actually, the big winner tonight is going to be the NFL. We were just hearing from the commissioner that the ratings on Thursday nights are through the roof.
Yeah, it's crazy. We talk about this how I know that other people that struggle with their favorite sports. My brother. You have friends that are fans of baseball and think baseball is still the national. Great, baseball is great. The playoffs start. I love baseball, but the fact that the Hall of Fame game equals the ratings of a playoff or World Series game, it's got to aggravate Rob Manfred and the powers that be in Major League Baseball. It blows away the National Hockey League and NBA, and now you're seeing ratings in the NFL for their Thursday night package that are quadrupling any network TV show. I'm not talking about things on cable like The Walking Dead, which could be on AMC or that, but your network shows is quadrupling. And this package is up for negotiation after the 2016 season. Could you imagine what the rights are going to go for just those 17 games? It's going to be it's phenomenal. Yeah, look, the NFL, Howie Long said it great. Baseball is our national pastime, and football is our national passion. And it's really shown with the way it's marketed and viewership.
Yeah, a new must-see TV on Thursday night. Let's go back to the games. Redskins go to Atlanta. You know, maybe the Falcons are for real, even defensively.
Well, they're deep. Yeah, well, we just talked about the Houston Texans and the lack of J.J. Watt. They just annihilated the Texans last week. And this kid, Devontae Freeman, is that they found a running game. They haven't had a running game in a long time. When you find a running game, it's not a cliche. It always helps a quarterback. And you got a decent quarterback in Matt Ryan. But this is the trap game. You know, the Redskins are weird. I mean, I've always said if Kirk Cousins doesn't throw a pick six in the fourth quarter, they got a chance. And they beat the Eagles last week. Kirk Cousins looked pretty good. You're not hearing RG3's name. Any controversy there? Do I like the Falcons in this game? Yeah, but would I be shocked if the Redskins won? No.
All right, Rams go to Green Bay. Rams seem to be better playing on the road. That was your theory because of the lack of fans in St. Louis. So first, what are you hearing about Los Angeles after this week's NFL meetings? And then second, can the Rams repeat the performance they had last week?
The handicap in this move to Los Angeles is just terrific drama. For anyone that's really following this story religiously, I am because I'm from L.A. I live in Las Vegas. I would love to buy season tickets for a team that goes to L.A. I mean, every week it seems to change. I'm hearing, my sources tell me, that Stan Kroenke, John, who is the owner of the Rams, doesn't have the 24 votes needed to move the team to Los Angeles because Anheuser-Busch has stepped up and is willing to finance a stadium on the riverfront there. And that's not going to cost the NFL any money. And the owner, if the NFL doesn't have to put any money in, they're saying, hey, you're staying in St. Louis. If I had a handicapper right now, I think the Chargers are the leading contender to move.
Wow.
Because you know what? Charger fans don't care. I mean, I remember last season I went to a Sunday night game between New England and San Diego, in San Diego. And I could not believe how many Patriot fans were there. And Bill Belichick, not a man for a lot of words, said the first thing he said in his press conference after the game, John, was, quote, I thought this was a home game. So we're talking about lack of fans. Exactly. We're talking about lack of fans in St. Louis. Huge lack of fans. If San Diego starts losing, forget it. And you'll see when the Raiders go down there, there'll be more Raider fans in San Diego. Raider fans are adamant. I'm going to the game against the Jets. It's already sold out. They're selling out every game. They're obviously, the worst team of those three teams mentioned to move. So I think they're out of the L.A. race. If I would handicap it, I would say St. Louis is going to go first because Kroenke really wants it, has a land in Inglewood by the Forum, is ready to break ground. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Chargers and the Rams both end up in L.A., the Rams next year, because Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, said, quote from the meetings, there will definitely be a team in 2016. They'll probably play in the L.A. Coliseum or the Rose Bowl while construction is being done. And I think the Chargers will follow, and they'll do the same thing. They'll share a stadium like the Giants and the Jets do in Rutherford, New Jersey. Now, getting to your thing about the Rams' performance from last week, you mentioned it earlier in the segment about Jeff Fisher. I still love this guy as a coach. And one thing no one's talking about, I thought the best player taken in this draft, this past draft, was Todd Gurley. Was that a come-out performance, 146 yards rushing?
Yeah.
This
absolutely.
Is a game, again, Green Bay, it's in Green Bay. I'm not happy with Green Bay's defense. Yeah, they shut down the 49ers last week, but you and I and your wife could shut down the 49ers. They're so bad this year. you know what? I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to pick the Rams.
Okay. All right. Speaking about the Packers, I thought they should have trounced the 49ers last week. They didn't, which begs the response that you always say about me. I am no Russell Wilson, But you know what? I don't think Russell Wilson is any Russell Wilson. Seattle goes to Cincinnati. We're going to find out if the Bengals are real. But I think the Seahawks are really lacking on offense. You just said that. How that game versus Detroit was even tight enough to get that controversial call is beyond me. I think the Seahawks are shaky. Cam Chancellor is back.
Well, they're having huge offensive line problems in Seattle. And they're talking about that in the locker room, in the media up there. If you read the blogs, I'm following it pretty closely. Because you go out and you make possibly one of the greatest trades in trading your center, Max Unger, for Jimmy Graham. Well, Max Unger is doing great in New Orleans. And the center is actually your quarterback, believe it or not, of your offense. He's the one Absolutely. Who tells your quarterback to make the audibles. Russell Wilson's really struggling. And the fact that Jimmy Graham's upset, how can you not get Jimmy Graham the ball? He's really struggling up there in that offense. And they go to Cincinnati this weekend, and we'll find out if Cincinnati's for real. If Cincinnati loses this game to Seattle, I mean, Seattle's coming off a Monday night. They got to travel across country to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's hot right now. Everyone loves Andy Dalton, but everyone knows Cincinnati's problems are in the playoffs. Let's see how they are. I like Cincinnati in this game. Again,
I do too.
I wouldn't be shocked if the road game team won. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I got the Bengals on this one. Okay. Buffalo goes to Tennessee. Two teams going in the wrong direction. Is Rex Ryan just a bunch of bluster, or are we going to see this team turn around finally to do what he thinks they should do?
Just a bunch of bluster. I mean, he's got, 4-13 against Bill Belichick, yet every time he gets a chance, he makes remark and talks about them. And keep your mouth shut. The great coaches in this league keep their mouth shut. You never hear them make any – there's no sound bites. You never hear a sound bite from Mike McCarthy of the Packers or Belichick, who I mentioned earlier. I mean, Pete Carroll's a great coach, and he'll tell you what you want to do football-wise. It's a great personality. This guy just loves the media. He loves to talk. He was on Dan Patrick last week talking about, I love to go skydiving, like to do this and that during the season. And meanwhile, your team is 2-2, and you're a defensive genius. You don't look good, and you're getting you've lost two home games already. Tennessee stinks. I'm not a big Ken Whisenhunt fan as a head coach. I think he's one of these guys who's going to go down as a great coordinator in this league and a lousy head coach, a la Wade Phillips, a la Buddy Ryan, a la Norv Turner. Buffalo goes to Tennessee. Again, I like the road to buy. He might be full of bluster, but I think he has enough to beat Mariota. And the Titans have a horrible defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hang on. Can I say one more thing, John, this game?
Sure, go for it.
If LeSean McCoy, if LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins don't play in this game, there's a little more edge to Tennessee, but because those are two great skill position players for Buffalo. But what I'm hearing is they are going to play. So, but they've been limited in practice. If they play, I think it's not even a game. If they don't play, Tennessee has a shot. I still think Buffalo will pull this out.
All right, something to look forward to in the next couple of days. We are talking with Eric Schneider. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. You're listening to The John Daly Show. You can follow all of my sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. Okay, the Giants get the 49ers at home. But before we get that, let me chastise myself. First of all, last week I said, okay, the Giants are going to turn the corner. They're turning the corner. Then I picked them to lose to the Bills. How is that for me covering my ass? And you didn't call me on that. That being said, I think the Giants have turned the corner.
Well, you're just hedging your bet. You know, they can't. Well, you're not doing anything. Look, you're a smart enough football fan to see that your team has lost two games to Atlanta and Dallas if they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and then they come out and look great against the Redskins. And what the Giants keep doing is biting themselves in the ass. Excuse my language. Because they had a chance to put the Bills away, and then Eli throws a pick on the 10-yard line. The Giants have turned a corner. And right now, if you look at their schedule down there, they got the 49ers, they have the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe, at home, then they go and play Tampa Bay. I mean, they have a real legitimate chance to be 5-2 after. And in that division, what I think was going with Dallas and injuries, that could be enough to carry them through the rest of the season. I like Tom Coughlin. I like the Giants. I like what they've done, and they're suffering through some major injuries. So, the kudos to their coaching staff, and you know they're a team to keep an eye on the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Hey, we didn't go over this, but what do you think about the Beckham controversy? He's being called out for punching some of the defensive backs, being called a dirty player, and he's kind of standing up for himself. What do you take on that?
He's a little bit of a head case. No one talks about that. The Giants have another head case in Victor Cruz. his fiance's out there sending out texts to all his ex-mistresses, all his mistresses saying, hey, I'm engaged to this guy. So let me tell you about the Giants wide receivers named Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz. Does the word diva mean anything to you? Yeah, they're divas. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. is just, he's one of these, he's terrific in his work ethic. The players love him, and he gets on the field and makes some terrific plays, but it's gotten to his head. He's a young kid, and he'll learn to get over that. If he doesn't, then we're looking maybe another Terrell Owens down the road. I hope it doesn't happen to the Giants and their fans.
I was going to say, I mean, a diva that's a wide receiver, I've never heard that before. It's not part of a wide receiver's personality.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Wow.
Speaking of non-divas, let's talk about the Patriots going to Dallas. I'm always leery of the Patriots after a week off. Their precision on offense seems to be hurt. However, I can't believe how bad the Dallas defense has become. I can understand the offense with the injuries, but the defense, I don't know. I think I got to take the Patriots on the road.
I love it. The Patriots are 9.5-point favorite as of this broadcast, and I like the Patriots, even if their defense is good at it. I told this to you in June off the record, don't piss off the Patriots. And you have a team with a huge chip on their shoulder, and mm-hmm. You look at it this way. Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain are coming back from suspensions. They're starting linebackers. And then Sean Lee's out last week, who I think is their best player on their team, not named Tony Romo or Dez Bryant. So, I mean, Dallas, I give Jason Garrett credit because, again, injuries are part of the game and they're getting through it. But I like the Patriots in this game, no matter who was playing on the Dallas Cowboys.
Speaking of bad defenses, what the heck happened to the Raiders? And do the Raiders, do they make Peyton seem young again this week? Also, I'm now out of my second last man standing competition this season because I took the Raiders.
The Raiders, 12 straight years of losing, averaging 4 wins a season, and I will tell you what I think. And I sat there and watched that game with my wife and my son, and let me expatiate a little bit, my own little word about what happened. Trent Green is doing the game with Greg Gumbel, two various good announcers for CBS Sports. And the Raiders are dead last in the NFL on defense. And if you do your research on this, when you're dead last in the NFL on defense throughout the history of the league, you average 3 to 4 wins a season. Okay, the Raiders are driving. They're down 19-17 to the Bears, and Derek Carr's got them going, and they got a 3rd-and-1 on the Bears' 22-yard line. And the Bears have 11 men in the box. And Trent Green goes, the Raiders have to make this first down because their defense isn't good enough to stop Jay Cutler, who's having a Dan Marino-type day against the Raider defense. Wow. What do the Raiders do? It's 11 guys in the box. I mean, it's 11 guys on the line of scrimmage. Derek Carr hands the ball off to Roy Helu, who gets stopped for a 1-yard loss. Janikowski kicks a field goal to put the Raiders up 20-19. And then Jay Cutler goes on a 2-minute drive, looking like a combination of Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady as one. And they kick a winning field goal with 2 seconds to go. I'm going to go on official record and say this right now. And I've said this, and I've been right, and I hate for the Raider Nation to hear this. Jack Del Rio is not the guy for this team. Okay?
Wow.
He admitted after the game, they're not seeing the schemes. You know, we have to coach them better and this and that. The Raiders are a horrible football team, and the reason why they've won 2 games is because of 2 guys, Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. And they had a 27-10 lead against the Cleveland Browns with 9 minutes to go a week earlier, and they had to hold on because Josh McCown was driving them for a tying touchdown, and Charles Woodson made a miraculous interception near the end zone. I'm really down the Raiders right now because I bought into it. I think the Denver Broncos crushed. Denver Broncos have the number one defense in the league right now. I think they're going to do all kinds of things to just, carve up Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. And if you noticed, Amari Cooper had no catches in the second half. Right? John Fox knew how to coach against Del Rio. A lot of guys on Denver are still on that staff. Okay, Gary Kubiak kept all those defensive coaches and what have you. I think it's a blowout. I'm just down on the Raiders right now because I bought into it, and I think they're a 4-win team. And here we go again.
All right, hey Boychuk, don't hold back. Okay, don't hold back.
Yeah, you think I'm kind of emotional about the Raiders? Well, look, numbers don't lie. You're dead last in the NFL in defense. You're dead last every year. You go on, you hire defensive coaches. They have, every team that stinks usually has about a 23 to 25 player turnaround every year. There's new players coming in. the last 12, 13 years on these bad teams with the Browns and the Raiders. You're bringing in new coaches, but the one constant the Raiders have had the last 5 years is the ownership and the general manager. Maybe it's time to change that up. You know, sell the team or get rid of your GM because you're not bringing the right people in to run this team. Move on.
All right. Well, let's talk about other fans who were probably a bit more passionate or as passionate. Talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They go to San Diego for Monday night. I think this is going to be a good game. I think the Steelers rebound with some field goals this weekend. But, you know, if you think about it, they could be undefeated if they had a good field goal kicker.
Yeah.
They should have beaten the Patriots in that first game.
Absolutely. I heard Rodney Harrison on NBC on Sunday Night Football say something that I was shocked. He goes, I don't think the Steelers will win a game with Michael Vick at quarterback because the guy is only good at improvisation in the pocket. He can't read a defense, and that's been his problem. And unless he's coached right, I don't think the Steelers have a chance in this game. I really don't. I thought I was so impressed, and the Chargers are the one team I hate the most in sports. I can't stand that team. All right, but when I watch the heart and gut of Philip Rivers with all the injuries that they had, I mean, God, it's incredible how they won that game against Cleveland. Is Cleveland that bad, or the Chargers that good? I don't know. Chargers are at home. I don't see it. I don't see it with the Steelers. That could be a 14-point spread.
Okay. Hey, let me ask you, since you hate the Chargers so much, if they move to L.A. closer to Vegas, will you get season's tickets for the Chargers game teams, even though you don't like them?
Nope. But the good thing about it is I've gone to games in Arizona. L.A.'s a little closer than Phoenix. So I'll still go to their games. I'll just root against them.
Oh.
Well, look, when the Raiders go and play, it'd be great for me. When the Raiders go down there and play San Diego or other teams, it'd be good to go because I'm glad that I grew up in L.A., And when I grew up, there was always a football team there. I mean, when I was in my mid-30s, that's when the Rams and the Raiders both left. And it's good for the younger generation. You know, a lot of my friends have kids that never know what it's like to have a football team other than USC and UCLA. And it'll be good for the younger kids to be able to go with their dads or their friends to a game. And that's what it's all about. So, but no, I will not buy season tickets to the Chargers.
I agree. Hey, what game are we missing here that I haven't covered?
I don't think we're missing any game that you haven't covered. I think all the games are. I mean, every week there's something like let's look at last week. I didn't think there was any chance the Rams had to beat the Arizona Cardinals, right? All right, I'll give you another game here. I'll give you two games that are interesting. I'll give you. You want to talk last man standing?
I'm going to get into the fantasy in a little bit.
Will I get that later?
Give me another game.
I'll give you one other game that's intriguing to me. New Orleans at Philadelphia.
Okay.
Because is New Orleans going to take that momentum from that 80-yard touchdown, brutal, beautiful pass to C.J. Spiller from Drew Brees in overtime, beating Dallas? Did they go to Philadelphia? Whenever I count Philadelphia out, I actually pick the Jets to beat them in the game was in New York and Philadelphia trounced the Jets. You know, this game, I can't handicap it. I don't know what's going to happen, John, because the Saints defense played a little bit better, and Sam Bradford threw three touchdowns last week. That's the one game I'm looking at. It's a 10 o'clock game on the West Coast, 1 o'clock where you're at. Keep an eye on that game because that could be a shootout, and I think the loser of that game is out. They're 1-4. The winner of that game is very much alive for a wild card, and who knows in those divisions. I mean, obviously, you got two 4-0 teams in the AFC South, so if New Orleans loses, they're out. But Philadelphia is a story of the year because best preseason expectations. He trades away everybody. You're bringing Sam Bradford. New Orleans, Philadelphia. Keep an eye.
All right. We are talking with Eric Schneider. He's the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340 in Las Vegas. Let's go to fantasy. But before I get your picks, let's talk about the fantasy sports controversy. Allegedly, employees from two of the big companies were able to win big money in the contest while seeing other information the public did not see. The New York Attorney General is opening an investigation. What are you hearing about this?
I'm hearing this story is bigger than the lead-in you just gave me right now. And it's happening all over. And you know, it's funny. The NFL shies away. They don't want their announcers. They didn't talk about point spreads and gambling, but this is gambling. And everywhere you look, you can't watch a sporting event right now. John, you watch football. How many times when you watch football on Sunday do you see a commercial for DraftKings or FanDuel? I would bet you in an hour's worth of commercials, let's say there's four commercial breaks in an hour in an NFL game, I'll bet you that in two of those commercial breaks, you're going to see a commercial for one of those sites. So
let me stop you there and add to this. You'll see fantasy points on the screen in the middle of the games when they're giving you the graphics and stuff like that. So you'll see fantasy points up there.
The NFL Network has three different shows based on fantasy football. Three.
Yeah.
You're in the producing. You're a TV star. Three shows that you could host about fantasy football. ESPN now has a show about fantasy football. And then again, when you watch the highlights at night, watch a game day highlights on NFL Network, and then watch a game the primetime with Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. On the crawl or on the sides, the graphics are all fantasy. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It never happened. You know, and I think it takes, believe it or not, I think it takes away from the game. I am not one of those guys that's into the gambling of it or the fantasy, but obviously the NFL is, gambling's been around forever. But fantasy's added so many more viewers and so much more interest in the game, you can't deny it. But these sites, getting back to the FanDuels and the DraftKings, I think it's much more widespread, and now you know they're doing internal investigations, and they're saying, you know, we're going to stop this, and they can't do it on other sites. But how can you really stop this? If a guy knows someone that they have inside information, you just got to have someone go. You have someone else named Eric Snyder or John Daly open up an account, use a password, and make the picks. So it's crazy. I mean, I've seen so many DraftKings commercials. I know the names of the guys that have won by heart.
Well, Dave, I know what they look like. If you think about it, but Dave Gomes looks like you.
Yeah.
He does. He wears his hat backwards just like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought it was you first.
Yeah. Well, I wish it was. He won $1 million, you know? But
is fantasy possibly done, or are we going to see heavy regulation, or what? What's going to happen with this?
Fantasy will never be done. Fantasy's been going on. Oh God, when I had season tickets to the Raiders in the 80s and early 90s, I'll give you a quick story. There's a friend of mine named John Hyatt. Okay, I'll throw his name out there. He produces boxing shows here in Las Vegas. We're at a Raider game, and the Raiders are playing the Jets, and the Raiders are winning 24-0. But Tim Brown doesn't have any catches in the game, and he's pissed off because the Raiders are winning 24-0. But this guy has. So I watch what it does to people. So you get it as far back as that in the late 80s, early 90s. It's never going to go away. It's going to be regulated more, and I'm glad this story came out. But I think it's just going to blow up because it gets what it does and what the NFL loves about it is it gets the casual fan involved. Hey, I don't have to really watch football, but hey, if I pick Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, Antonio Brown at wide receiver, LeSean McCoy at running back, and they get me a lot of points, hey, I can win money. You know, I don't have to watch the games. Just look at the stats at the end of it.
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening.
All right,
that's what's happening.
All right. We will definitely be watching it over the next few weeks. So let's then do our fantasy picks with maybe some trepidation here. Who are you picking in quarterback?
Tom Brady.
I mean, okay.
Dallas' defense is Dallas' defense, even with the return of Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain, their defensive backs are decimated. Whenever they come off a bye week, I think their record under Belichick is, I don't quote me on this, but I think it's like 11-1. Something like that. I like Tom Brady.
Okay, running back.
Jamal Charles. I mean, they played the Chicago Bears this weekend, and Chicago, going into the Raider game, had the 28th rated run defense. Now, they stopped the Raiders, but it's still ranked 27, and I think Jamal Charles, who's had a very quietly, we look back at that Thursday night game against Denver where he fumbled, but he's having a good season. So I like Jamal Charles against the Bears.
Wide receiver.
Jeremy Maclin, I have on my team. He's just for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Alex Smith has found this guy, and he's averaging over 100 yards a game, and I think he's going to have a great game. I also like Demaryius Thomas of the Denver Broncos. I mean, the Raiders' defense is dead last, and this is Peyton Manning's go-to guy, and I think he's just going to tear up the Raider defense. Oh, can I add one more thing about how stupid the Raiders are?
Sure.
Jack Del Rio had T.J. Carey, who was their best defensive back, returning punts. And I turned to my wife and my son and I said, why the hell are you having your best defensive player returning punts? He gets injured. So who goes in the next time the Bears had a punt? Take a wild guess. Amari Cooper, who's your best wide receiver. Yeah. And I'm thinking this is nuts. So with bad coaching and the Raiders' defense is decimated, I'm going with Demaryius Thomas. So Demaryius Thomas and Jeremy Maclin are my wide receivers.
Okay, tight end.
Travis Kelce.
Again?
I'm picking on the Bears. Travis Kelce, and you know what? Antonio Gates gets back from his 4-game suspension. He's hungry. Steelers' defense is not playing well. They've been in their games, but when push comes to shove, the tight ends have really done well against them. So Antonio Gates of the Chargers also.
Okay. Kicker.
Steven Gostkowski of the New England Patriots.
Yeah. I think they're
move the ball up. It's nice weather in Dallas this weekend, so I'm taking them.
Okay. Defense.
This is tough. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens, believe it or not, against the Cleveland Browns. I think they have always played them tough. I watched that. I think Baltimore really stepped up against Pittsburgh. I know Michael Vick is in there. I like Baltimore. And, the New York Giants, okay? I think San Francisco is a team we could be talking about. I mean, San Francisco came out against Minnesota in that first week of the season, John. They were phenomenal. And ever since then, they've gotten blown out. They scored 3 points at home against the Packers of the 22nd rated defense. 3 points at home. So I don't like them going to the back east.
Okay, your last man standing pick.
Two of them. Can I give you two of them?
Sure.
Okay, I like the New York Giants on Sunday night at home against the San Francisco 49ers. And I love the Chiefs at home against the Bears. I know I picked a lot of those guys on last man standing. Do you see, John, the Chiefs losing 3 games in a row? This team was picked by many to win 11 games and go to at least contend for the division or at least be in a wild card. Now, if they lose to the Bears at home and go 1-4, their season's over, and Andy Reid's in the last year of his contract, and his legacy is going to be great coach, never could win anything.
Yep. All righty. Well, there you have it. Another great week of games and controversy. He is Eric Snyder, straightening it all out for us. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340. With Pauly Howard in Vegas. Boychuk, thanks.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Have a great week. Enjoy the games.
All right, buddy. Yeah, you too. And you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We will catch you next time, folks. And as Boychuk just said, enjoy the games.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.